Welcome to another episode with our sleep spotlight shining on Croatia. Today we are going to interview Henny Kovac. She is here to help us realize that even if you are a victim of harassment, you don't have to be a victim of your past. Here, Henny is going to help us look toward the future and learn from our mistakes, learn from the difficulties in the past, and in spite of it all, come out victorious and be able to take charge of our sleeping schedule, of our happiness, and our well-being. And of course, toward the end of the program, after consolidating all the wonderful information, again, we will come up with the top three sleeping tips that we will learn from the interview. So stay tuned and stick around for that. Hello, sleep friends. Welcome again to another episode of Sleep Well Around the World. Our sleep spotlight today is in Croatia. And we are so happy to have with us Miss Henny Kovac. Originally, she's from Slovakia. And today, our episode is going to have a deep dive about how women can sometimes encounter difficulties, harassment, and incivility in the workplace. And women can also feel trapped in a cycle of negative rumination and thinking when they feel that their self-fulfillment is intrinsically linked with the approval of men. And we're so inspired today to have Henny with us. A little bit of a background about Henny. She moved to the US at 18 years old without speaking a word of English. She finished college at age 26, spending several years undocumented and severely underpaid and taken advantage of. Henny was also a single mom for most of her life, married and divorced three times, one of which was a physically abusive marriage, which led her down on a path of self-reflection. So many challenges happened to Henny, including getting involved with a cult, being sexually harassed and assaulted at her corporate job. And finally, she couldn't take it anymore and she wanted to speak about this, but eventually it got her fired. And this is way, way before the Me Too movement even occurred. She decided to start a business after losing her job and open up an all-female work and community space in Atlanta, Georgia. And her mission was to empower the female community so what she experienced before would never have to happen or to minimize the occurrences to other females. Leaving the cult, bootstrapping the business, and not having worked through her own limitations, the business had taken its toll on her and drained Henny financially and emotionally. She almost lost her home, but could finally sell it at the last minute. She also sold the business and packed up her kids and moved to the West Coast of California, spent a year working at a local bakery, turning the focus within herself. Henny started to explore the use of plant medicine to help her with her trauma and limiting beliefs. And now she's starting an empowering podcast focused on women with a new understanding about herself and collective conditioning as well. Today, Henny's mission is to free herself from her suffering and find the power within, and in the process, be able to help other women do the same. She fully trusts that the rise of the female is what is going to save our future. Henny, what a heroic journey. To be honest with you, I just was so inspired. I cut my own hair 5 minutes before this interview. I felt that there's so many baggage that we females have accumulated through the years. And we need to do a deep dive into what went on in our life, what went on in our workplace and even in our relationships. And you, Henny, have experienced so much, and we can learn so much from your experiences, challenges, and triumphs. First and foremost, Henny, I would like to ask, with all of these difficult challenges that you kindly shared with us so we can have a learning curve, what to you was the most challenging?
Wow, what was the most challenging out of all of it is really, I would say to keep going and finding a purpose within. I think that was the most challenging, because the situations, the circumstances, those are things that come and go, but it's basically the internal state of how I feel and all of that. That was the most challenging, to be able to find maybe not even purpose, but self-love, to give myself that opportunity to carry on and not fully give up.
That is definitely very, very important. And nowadays, because we give so much in our careers, because we give so much in our relationships, sometimes we don't even raise awareness within ourselves that we are actually being abused. And let's focus, for example, on the workplace. There's so many reasons now why incivility and harassment exists. And there's so many types that women are exposed to, such as discriminatory, personal, physical, sexual, retaliation, online bullying, psychological, verbal, so many things happening in the workplace. And some of it can be so subtle, and some of it can also be so insidious that women sometimes have no idea how to react. So the fact that you're here and you've even raised a community to help people be aware of what's going on and to always think about self-care constantly, wherever they may be, whether they may be in a workplace or in a relationship, that is definitely a big help, so that they can be introspective, look within themselves. Are they actually feeling happy with where they are? Are they feeling mistreated, or are they feeling abused? Henny, what was that aha moment for you when you felt, this is the limit of what I can absorb? This is too much. I feel I'm being abused. I feel that I cannot handle it anymore. Because sad to say, some women cannot really find that boundary. I really want to ask you how you found that limitation. What was the turning point for you when you said, this is enough?
Well, honestly, I have to be completely honest with myself and you and let you know that it wasn't really me who pointed this out. Actually, unfortunately, I don't just speak for myself, because I've been around a lot of women and we had discussed this issue before, but unfortunately, we endure this treatment way too long until either something drastic happens or someone points it out to us. And for me, it was actually the combination of both. So the first blow that came to me was after my divorce from my last husband, which was a physically abusive relationship, which actually he ended up in jail. I mean, it was pretty clear for an outsider, for someone removed from the situation, to see that this is not a healthy relationship. However, when you're deep inside and when your self-confidence is so shattered, non-existent, you really don't see a problem with it. And you take on all the blame, all the guilt, and because you just weren't enough, you don't feel enough, and you just didn't do enough, didn't give enough. So this is the consequence, correct? So the first blow was that I literally, life rearranged itself where I had no choice but stop and say, hey, something is wrong. This person is in jail. The system agrees with it, that this is not a treatment that you should put up with. So that was the first one. And the second one was really, you know, you had mentioned that I was in the cult, and I hate to call it a cult because, you know, it has a negative connotation to it, which it did have those aspects, which, you know, I feel like the most negative thing in that organization was that you really were not empowered to make your own decisions. However, there were a lot of positive things that came out of it. One of which was that they pointed out the fact that I was mistreated at work. See, like you said, we just endure these things, and it is so hardwired in us, and the culture and everything is so subtle sometimes that you just get used to it, and you think this is the way it is, and that's just how it is. If I don't smile, if I don't appease someone at work, and you know, I'm not really being a team player, and then one thing leads to another, and it gets out of hand. But you really, it's so subtle, and it just builds on. And then you're thinking, this is just the way it is. I just have to do this to be able to exist in this organization. So the second aha moment wasn't coming from me. It was someone, I was sitting in front of my quote unquote mentor, and she looked straight into my eyes and said, you know, you were raped. And it just hit me. I was like, holy cow, I was. And that's when it hit me. So I can't really claim that, you know, I came to this aha moment on my own. I would have endured more of this because I think a lot of women do.
That is such an eye opener to hear, Henny, especially because a lot of women can probably relate that they just let the abuse pile up on them and not even being able to identify that they're actually a victim, thinking that these things are normal. Maybe that from the beginning, from childhood, in your case, when you were married, you had already experienced physical abuse. And maybe you weren't able to identify that fine line of when people are crossing the line and maybe accepting something that for others is already abusive as something as for you may be accepted as normal. And as you mentioned, if it wasn't pointed out to you by someone else, then maybe you would have continued on that negative pathway. How many years were you enduring the abuse from your husband? And also, how many months or years were you involved in that cult? So it gives us a time perspective of how long you were having to go through these difficult situations.
Well, luckily for me, I think I'm easily influenced, but I'm also very quickly. I should say, luckily for me, I get trapped easily, but I also very quickly wake up to the fact. So the abusive relationship lasted a total of less than a year. So, you know, that was great that it didn't go on for years and years like it does with other women and many, many, many women. And the cult was a two-year involvement. So, you know, if you think about it, it's a short period of time, but it's enough. It's enough to leave a mark, and present a teaching as well.
That is true. And you really mentioned that keyword there of enduring. And sometimes that's what women do, thinking that that is their role in life, just to sit back and endure everything that is heaped upon them, whatever is that abuse or whatever is that difficulty that is brought upon by other people, and they just accept it. Of course, there are women who feel that being self-sacrificing, patient, and accepting everything is the role of a woman. However, that can also be very disempowering because we don't honor our own needs. There's always that intrinsic thing that also affects us women, that we want to be able to serve others and help others, even if it means that we ourselves will just accept whatever is heaped upon us. But it's so amazing, Henny, that you're able to finally accept everything that happened to you and also was able to turn it around and even empowering other women so that they don't have to go through what you are going through. But you know, Henny, nowadays there's others who are actually losing sleep because of what they're experiencing. Maybe they're having nighttime depression. Maybe they're having nighttime ruminations, wherein they're having a negative cycle of thought of what's happening to them. It's only that time that it hits them. And then the next day, they don't really let it sink in and they just go through the motions of their own activities again and letting themselves be the target of other people without stepping up and doing anything about it and saying, no, I can't accept this anymore. No, you can't do this to me anymore. What would be your advice if people start having that feeling in them, having that doubt that maybe this is not the way that I should be treated? How can they honor themselves, recognize that feeling, and be able to have the courage to do something about it and not to just let it be a constant cycle that bothers and causes them so much emotional and physical harm?
Well, I think it's a good sign that someone is starting to feel that uncertainty or those thoughts that perhaps something is not right here. One thing that I found is for me, and actually I can speak for others as well, I believe in this context, is that but we need to take our thinking mind, our head out of the picture most of the time and just follow our feeling body. What is it communicating? Because your head will justify any situation to make it right. And whatever your upbringing or even culture, even, you know, culturally, women are trained in different cultures, you know, coming from Eastern Europe, the woman's place is a woman's place, you know, and it's different in the US, but still, if that's what you're brought up with and that's what your belief system is, then you think, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. But your body, your feeling body will communicate with you. And when it feels not right, when you have that feeling, when you can stop, and that's why it's important to take time out for ourselves, because if we're just running all the time and busy, that's just really a way to distract ourselves from what's going on within. So I would say, number one thing, give yourself some time to connect with yourself, go out in nature, spend a little time with yourself and start paying attention. And I know that when, you know, in this society, it's so easy to be disconnected from our feeling body because we're just running 24/7. But if you can slow down enough where you can actually start feeling these feelings, they don't lie. The feelings will tell you that there is a disconnect between what your inner guidance is telling you and what you're actually doing. So I would say, don't pay much attention to your thoughts per se, but really your feelings. And if your feelings are waking you up in the middle of the night, then there is something to look into. And you know, when you're saying that you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking or you're starting to believe something is going on, but the next day you forget, the reason you forget is because you just keep yourself busy. You don't give yourself the honor, the opportunity to stay with it and let it really sink in. And honestly, you know, also when we say enough is enough and I'm not going to let you treat me this way, well, what my mission is right now, I realize, is that we have to take radical responsibility for ourselves. So we cannot say anymore, I'm not going to let you do that. It's actually us letting people treat us the way we let them treat us. So it's honestly, if you peel down the layers, it's me doing this to myself. So instead of saying, I'm not going to let you do this to me, I'm not going to let me do this to me anymore. And that just opens up a can of worms that you need to open up if you really want to be true to yourself and see where there is lack of self-love, because that's the root cause of this. You know, nobody can treat you the way you not allowing them to treat you.
That makes so much sense. And that is so empowering to learn from you, Henny, as someone with that, all that experience that you've had, is to have that accountability that once we honor ourselves, listen to our inner voice and start practicing that self-love, only then are we actually going to be able to realize everything that is happening to us. And if it is acceptable, we need to keep asking ourselves that question. And I love how you said that oftentimes we need to have that mental and psychological detachment. Otherwise, we're going to be running on empty and we're not replenishing our energy. We're not replenishing our well-being. We're not replenishing our self-love, but we just continue on and on with our daily grind and not even recognizing that within us, there's that voice who's telling us that, Henny, this is not right anymore. Henny, you shouldn't be experiencing this anymore. It's not fair for you. And you're so right, because we have that tendency also to put the blame on the world, to put the blame on others, thinking that it's them that's causing us pain and harm. And that can also be the truth, but it's also on us, as Henny mentioned, to say it stops here. I don't have to let this happen to me anymore. At the end of the day, as Henny mentioned, it is in our full control to turn our back on someone or something that is already causing us pain and taking away the happiness that we all deserve. So that's so amazing to hear that, Henny, and you've gone through that triumph and you've honored yourself. And also it's such a big help for all our listeners out there who don't seem to have the courage to listen to that inner voice of theirs that's telling them that if something is not right, you have to listen well, you have to pay attention. As you said, take a walk, take care of yourself, and find out, I guess, I'd like to ask you also in reference to what you said, do you think this kind of a self-analysis is something we should be doing on a regular basis, like daily, weekly, monthly? How do you think, or how would you advise us to have this regular analysis of being in touch with our inner voice?
Oh, that's definitely an ongoing nonstop. It's a way of life. It's not, I can't claim to say I've come out on the other side. I'm still working through this and that's why I feel so passionate about this, because I'm still in it. I'm still going through it. And I know it's tough and I know it requires a lot of presence. It requires a lot of us, because it's so much easier if you really look into it, it's so much easier just to go with the status quo and just endure some of these things that may, perhaps it's not dire yet, the situation. It's easier to just look away and just deal with it rather than look it in the eye, because it's painful. It's hard work, but there's no way around it. There is no shortcut. So it is a lifestyle. It is, you have to be committed to be consciously, you know, and be kind to yourself. You know, for me, I also have an issue with this. You know, we throw around this word self-care and self-love and all of that. And for someone who has been so unloving to myself, it's kind of hard to take that in and really let it sink in, because I feel like, it's too much, you know, when you're not used to love and love is trying to come towards you, it's too much and you kind of have a resistance. So I'd like to be able to present this to women in a way that it resonates more, where they realize this is not a selfish act. It's actually, you can serve a lot more people when you have that within you, when you honor yourself. You know, we always want to give, but you have to have this internal well that to give from, and that you have to feel it all the time. So it's an ongoing, it's a nonstop thing, and you know, and we will obviously you know, go off and go back to our conditioning and do things and not be kind to ourselves. But then you have to stop and bring yourself back and not be hard on yourself and beat yourself up. Oh, I did it again. no, it's okay. Of course you did it because it's hardwired. This is of course. So it's not only radical responsibility, but also acceptance. We have to accept that this is what it is and it's not our fault, but not in a way that, you know, because you can get into this victim mode where you're like, well, it's not my fault and there's nothing I can do about it. No, it is not our fault that we've been programmed and conditioned like this. But it is our responsibility to say the buck stops here with me. And especially if we, you know, are out in the world wanting to do great things in the world, you can't unless you start with yourself. And as a parent, I have to tell you that is one of the biggest challenges that I faced, because I felt like, you know, I don't deserve this, that I need to give to my children. And, you know, I have to take myself out of this equation. But it's the biggest lie that we tell ourselves, because you have to honor yourself. And that's when your parenting, that's when your love really comes out. And anyone who is listening out there who is a parent, I encourage you to really give this some deep contemplation, because that is the biggest gift you can give to your children, to love yourself.
That's so enlightening and makes so much sense. It's almost impossible to give to others if our own well is empty. As you said, we need to keep replenishing that with kindness to ourselves. And we forget that sometimes. As women, we always give so much to our children. However, if we're not giving it to ourselves, how can we possibly know how to give it to others? And how can we show generosity to others if we are taking ourselves for granted, not giving ourselves the gift of self-love that we deserve? That is so true. And I love how you mentioned that we're not perfect. We're constantly always having to be on our toes, watching that we are honoring ourselves, because in every situation, things keep changing. The world is dynamic. Our relationships are dynamic. So it's always good to take care of ourselves. And I love how now I know that Henny has this amazing podcast. Can you tell us a bit more about the title and the focus of your podcast? Because I'm sure that those listeners who are really enjoying this topic right now would also love to listen into your podcast and feel even more empowered with everything they're going to learn from you. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Thank you. The name of the podcast is Addicted to the Man. And the reason I call it, well, I mean, this name just popped up and it just seemed very fitting. Now, the man can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be a partner. Addicted to the Man really is on the basis that when you peel the layers and when you really try to get to the root cause of our suffering, it's always boils down to not enoughness. We are not being enough is basically lack of self-love. And I've watched countless men and women peel the layers, and when we get to the root cause, it is our addiction to the approval of the father figure. And when you start looking at that and accept it and acknowledge it, which most of us are trying to say, no, it's not true. We're living in denial. But when you look at how your life unfolds, you can truly see that the situations, your life is really unraveling in a way that you have your relationship to that male father figure from childhood. And I'd like to, the reason for this podcast is really to offer a safe space where we can let our guards down and we can let our denial, you know, leave the denial at the door and really look into this and just examine, open up conversations and see if you can make that connection for yourself. I'm not here to to teach anybody anything. Everybody is on their own journey. I'm really just passionate about allowing space for everyone to come to this realization on their own. And that is by opening up conversations and then leading them to different ways of dealing or uncovering these truths. So that is what the podcast is meant to do. And it is not specifically geared towards women, but I do believe that the majority of the listeners are women. You know, as a woman myself, I can much better speak to the issues of women. So that is what I'm out to do with this podcast.
That is absolutely intriguing. I'm sure so many are going to learn a lot from you. And how intriguing to learn that title itself is mysterious and empowering at the same time, Addicted to the Man. And for the listeners out there, the man can be a symbolic representation of either a father figure, our father, our literal father, our husband, or something that we feel is more powerful or sapping away our own power. So it could be symbolic of any situation that we feel we're addicted to it and we cannot free ourselves from it and regain back our power. And that's great that you're also sharing that this is a journey that we're all in together. By all means, nobody, as you say, can say that they've triumphed completely over whatever is causing them to be addicted to whatever problem they have. So that's amazing. Your podcast sounds so great. And finally, to wrap up, since you're in Croatia and you've gone through so many challenges, this is so amazing. And in fact, some of the challenges you've gone through, some people have not even like scraped the surface of that, of even undergoing even like a part of what you've been through. So with everything you've gone through and this new project of yours, and now in Croatia, can you tell me about the environment in Croatia, your current situation now in Croatia, and how you're managing your schedule well so that you can honor yourself also with good sleep and stay productive with all of your projects?
Well, I'll tell you, I am happy to report that my sleep pattern is quite healthy, or I think so. And that is because I make it a point to go to bed at a decent time. I used to be a night owl, but no longer. So I'm really just making sure that by 9:30, I'm in bed and ready for a restful sleep. I have my little ritual as well. I make sure that I take a shower and wash the energy of the day off, and just really prepare myself for a restful sleep. And there's nothing better than waking up. And it's, for me, it's not the quantity. You know, I can have a 6 hour night sleep and wake up refreshed. It's really the quality. So I'm happy to say that my sleep pattern is good, even with this, you know, being jet lagged. But it is very, very important. I think many times, I don't surf the web or put the electronics down. I actually turn my phone completely off and make sure that the room is completely dark. So I'm mindful of that, because I have come to realize that sleep is very, very important. And so just like, you know, going back to self-love, you have to be constantly conscious of it and make those decisions for yourself. Nobody will do that for you. And sleep is one of those things that I know it's a non-negotiable.
That's great. And how about the environment there in Croatia? Are people in general night owls? Do they in general sleep early, or does the environment impact sleep at all?
Well, you know, I've only been in Croatia a couple of days. I'm traveling all throughout Europe, and I'm at a campsite at the moment by the beach. So I think people come here to relax and, you know, have a vacation. So I don't know if this is like their, you know, usual daily thing, but what I noticed is people do stay up late because they want to socialize and talk and all of that. And then in the morning, I went for a walk. You know, I wake up around five o'clock or so, and I went for a walk and realized that the whole place is just asleep. So people don't follow that kind of regime.
Wow. Well, what a relaxing place to be by the beach. So definitely what you mentioned earlier about self-love is something that you're completely practicing right now. And I know you're spending time with your daughter as well. So all in all, I'm so happy for you. And I'm so happy that your schedule is pretty good and you're happy with the amount of rest you're getting. I always love to end the show with the three top sleeping tips that we have garnered from our wonderful and inspiring discussion. And today we've learned so much from Henny. Number one is to have a good routine. Henny says that she always exercises a good routine before her sleep so that she's resting well and not necessarily concentrating on quantity, but having a quality rest so she's always up and energetic. Secondly, we learned from Henny that it's always good to exercise self-love and self-care. So exercising kindness means also doing something relaxing before bed. Maybe doing something that we love, reading a book, doing a massage for ourselves, or doing something that makes us feel joyful, calm, soothed, and relaxed. And thirdly, we also learned that we can restrict bright lights and restrict the usage of digital products, stop using our phone maybe an hour before bed so that we can have a good rest. So someone who has so many projects in the works like Henny and has been through a lot still continues to exercise self-care. And we've learned so much. I'm so grateful we've had this chat with you, Henny. We've learned and been inspired by your journey. And we're looking forward to hear more from you because for sure, when we listen in also on your podcast, we're going to continue to be empowered and to continue to learn more about those you will also interview. So thank you very much. Enjoy the beach. Enjoy your rest. And hope to chat again with you soon, Henny.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks for the opportunity.